This is Not Your Average Financial Podcast, episode 340, Get the Facts on Bank on Yourself Policy Loans.
Traditional financial planning is no longer working. And in the new normal economy, your host, certified financial planner Mark Willis, invites you to join us as we engage the new and improved steps for establishing financial sanity. Be curious, be stable, be sane. This is Not Your Average Financial Podcast, helping you think different about your money, your economy, and your future.
Ever feel like your investments are taking you on a wild ride? Blindfolded? You scream, "Buy!" only to faceplant into a market dip. But hey, what if you could ditch the nausea and actually take real control? Buckle up, because Not Your Average Financial Podcast is not your grandpa's stock tips. We are the renegade navigators, the financial Robin Hoods, showing you how to outsmart the system and build wealth your way. Forget Wall Street suits. We're talking to real people, real stories, real wins. No jargon, just straight talking strategies to invest in things that you actually care about. So subscribe to Not Your Average Financial Podcast on YouTube and on your favorite audio podcast app, and grab the wheel of your financial future. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode. It's been a lot of fun going back to basics here on several different topics, and I want to continue the theme with one of the most important pieces of the Bank on Yourself strategy, and that is helping yourself get into the loans. Learning how Bank on Yourself type whole life insurance policy loans work is really crucial to being successful in the Bank on Yourself strategy. Now, we did an entire episode on this, and I think it still holds up very well, even though it was clear back in, I think, 2017, 2018 time zone. So in like the great grandparents' day of podcasting, clear back in episode 32, we had even complete with spreadsheets and more in the show notes. So go check that episode out if you'd like to hear even more about this. But even if you've recently listened to episode 32, we're going to be sharing some new insights, logistics, and I think perspectives on this policy loan topic. And it's a topic I get a lot of questions on. Many people believe that getting a life insurance policy can be cumbersome, confusing, expensive, but that does not mean you should be scared or avoid getting a policy loan, or that you should avoid doing it in favor of paying cash from a savings account. In fact, I'd say that's the exact wrong thing to do. It's not scary to request a policy loan. It's not bad. It's not like other loans. And in fact, I do recommend you take time to learn how policy loans work, because they are not like typical bank loans for many reasons. And we're going to get into those reasons in this episode. A lot of tactical stuff, a lot of specific stuff in this episode. But spoiler alert, the main reason why, and most important reason why this is different than a bank loan, is because when you take a Bank on Yourself type policy loan from your policy, you remain in control. You are in control when you borrow from your own policy. So let's get into why I believe the Bank on Yourself designed policy loan might just be the most important financial invention on the planet. Now, many people ask me, when they take their first policy loan, they're brand new to Bank on Yourself, they're just getting their feet wet, and they're ready to take a loan, they understand that there's going to be loan interest, and they understand that, you know, oftentimes it's annually charged, but they don't know if it's going to be based off their policy year or the calendar year. Well, just to cut to the chase, it's based on the policy year rather than the, you know, the calendar. So that's the first thing I want to make mention. Next, policy interest with Bank on Yourself type policies is charged at the end of the year with true Bank on Yourself type policy loans. Now, I know a lot of people who promote other strategies similar to Bank on Yourself, and they'll use words like infinite or multiplier or family banking in their company name. And a lot of people push this strategy, and they use the wrong insurance company or set up the policy incorrectly. The best way to manage policy loans is to have the insurance company charge you interest at the end of the policy year in arrears. Now, I know a great mutually owned company that hails from the Midwest, a life insurance company that hails from the Midwest. They have all the right features for Bank on Yourself. They have paid up additions. They've got non-direct loans. The one problem is they charge interest up front. up front. So that means when you request a loan for $10,000, your loan balance on day one would be $10,500, for example. Now contrast that to companies I would recommend that would charge interest at the end of the year, meaning you've got all year long to pay down your principal. Sure, they accrue interest throughout the year. Both insurance companies would. There's an accrual of interest, but it never compounds until the end of the policy year. So let's take an example here. Let's say your policy anniversary is June 1st. Okay, so every June 1st, you have an anniversary, and that's when your dividends are paid. Typically, that's if you're paying annually, that's when the annual premium is due. So June 1st is your policy's birthday. And let's say later on that year, on October 1st, you decide to take out a loan for $10,000. Let's say you see Halloween coming on your calendar and you want the coolest costume on your block. So you get a $10,000 policy loan to buy this crazy costume. Hey man, I don't make the rules here. You are the banker, so you can use the policy loan for whatever you want. Okay, so again, if you took a policy loan on October 1st and your anniversary is June 1st, and if you took that loan from the correct company because you designed it right with me or one of my colleagues, Bank on Yourself professionals, your loan balance on that day would be exactly $10,000. Unlike many insurance companies that might show you a loan balance for $10,000 plus all your annual interest. Yuck. I mean, just to be specific here, if it was with the wrong company, your loan balance with the wrong company that charges interest up front would be $10,416. That's the amount of interest that would accrue between October and the following June. Again, that would be your policy's anniversary. So I would much rather a lower loan balance. Thank you very much. But with the right company, if we designed it properly with the right insurance company, your loan balance would only be $10,000 on day one, October 1st, in our example. The following day, October 2nd, your interest payment would accrue. Your interest would accrue, but it would not compound at 5% on the daily rate. So take $10,000, multiply by 5%, and divide it by 365 days, and you get $1.37 of interest that would accrue, but it did not compound. The next day, if you made no loan repayments on day three of your policy, October 3rd of your policy year, another $1.37 would be added to your loan balance. So your loan balance on October 3rd would be $10,000 plus $1.37 plus $1.37. So the balance would be $10,002.74 if you wanted to pay it all off on October 3rd. Now, does this make sense? And specifically, do you see that being charged interest at the end of the year in arrears is much advantageous, much better than being charged interest up front like some insurance companies force you to be charged at? And more broadly, do you see why using a policy loan allows you to pay your principal down faster directly rather than having to service loan interest like you would have to do with a credit card or a mortgage? You know, you're paying your principal down all year long directly with any payment you make every month throughout the year. It's going to kick down your principal, which is going to lower the daily rate that you're being accrued interest. So it's important to understand that 5% policy loans is not always exactly 5%. Especially when you factor in the loan interest and how it accrues. So in fact, if you pay your loan on your policy in a responsible way, you'll never pay exactly 5% as an annual percentage rate. Oftentimes, if you pay your loan off over, let's say, a four-year period, the annual percentage rate, or APR, is going to be closer to 2%. How did I get to that number? Well, let's talk about it. So for example, if you paid your loan of $10,000, that you took out for that great Halloween costume back to your policy at $250 a month. And as you're repaying that loan, it's accruing but not compounding interest at 5% simple interest all year long. And it's charged annually in arrears over that four-year period. You'd pay the loan off completely and the total interest you would pay would be $830.23. Now that works out to exactly 2.08% APR. How'd I get that? That's 830 divided by 10,000 divided by 4 years. That's 2.08% APR. Now, to borrow money at 2.08% in today's environment sounds pretty attractive to me, but that's not all. Remember, the policy was continuing to grow even on the capital that we had borrowed out. So that $10,000 had continued to compound over the prevailing 4 years as you were repaying your loan, way more than the $830 that you paid in interest, which we talk in detail about back in episode 32. So again, go check out episode 32 if you want more detail on that. But we're sticking to policy loans for this episode. So as I mentioned, it's nice that you're not snowballing your interest all year long. And they don't compound your interest except once a year and in arrears. I mean, truly, I wish my mortgage would work this way. I wish other loans were as good as this. But we're not even scratching the surface on how cool these policy loans are just yet. So let's keep on going. Now, one thing that's important to realize, however, is that if you don't pay your loan interest at the end of the year, these insurance companies typically will send you a letter around the policy's anniversary. So in this example, somewhere around middle of May, you'd get a letter saying that June 1st, which again is your policy's anniversary, your interest that had accrued over the course of the year would be due. And you could either pay that interest out of pocket, or you could just let it compound onto your loan principal. Now, in our previous example, if you took out a loan in October and you began paying the loan off at $250 a month, the loan interest accrued over the course of the next several months would be $301.54. Now, if you didn't make any special payments to the insurance company at that time, they would send you that letter saying, hey, you owe us $301 of interest. Do you want to pay it? Yes or no? You could ignore the letter or pay the payment. If you ignore the letter, they're not going to harass you at dinner time. They're not going to try to repossess your car or they're not going to try to wreck your credit score. They're merely going to apply the $301 of interest to your loan principal on your policy's anniversary, which again is June 1st in our example. So your $301 gets added to the loan principal and you just continue on with your life. You continue making your monthly payment of $250 a month to repay that loan balance. No big deal. Again, you are in complete control of how you repay this loan. If you were to send $301 toward your policy loan before your policy's anniversary, it would apply toward the loan and your loan interest would never compound, ever. You would wipe the loan interest clear off. Your loan balance would be lower and you'd have a loan paid off faster with an even lower annual percentage rate. Again, I cannot emphasize this enough. I wish mortgages and student loans and credit cards all gave us this advantage. With typical bank loans, you're paying interest upon interest. It's compounding the problem. And this becomes a nightmare, a snowball that becomes difficult to get free from. Now, many people realize that interest rates in this world have begun to rise as of this recording. Some people have noticed that on their annual statement of their life insurance, loan interest rates are stated for the upcoming year, and they're not exactly at 5%, which is what they were, you know, 5-10 years ago. So for example, some of the insurance companies that I work with in a regular way have loan rates somewhere around 5.3 to 5.7%, depending on the insurance company and depending on when your policy renews. Again, all of this is as of this recording. So this is all pre-planned and written right into your contract. One of the things I really love about whole life insurance is just how predictable it is and how it follows the letter of the contract at every step along the way. If it didn't, the insurance company, if they tried to like sneak a fast one on you, policyholders would find this out and sue them. So that keeps everybody honest about the contract that you've signed and what you've entered into with this insurance company. So again, back to my point. On your policy's anniversary, in our example, June 1st, the insurance company will look at your contract and see how they're going to peg that loan rate for the upcoming year. Now, typically, they'll peg it to an index like Moody's Corporate Bond Index, which is a pretty popular bond index out there. So if it's Moody's Corporate Bond Index, let's say that they're providing an interest rate of 5.7% the month of your anniversary, then on June 1st of your policy loan statement would be sent out to you, and it would say on there that the policy loan rate for the year, for the entire policy year, would be 5.7%. And this just means that if you were to take a loan anywhere in your policy's year, your loan rate at that point would be 5.7%. This means that even if inflation kicks up, and it kicks up heavily, let's say over the next 12 months, your loan rate would still be locked in for the year at 5.7%. And remember, due to how the loan interest is calculated, you'll never pay exactly 5.7%. Oftentimes, it's going to be much lower than that, again, due to simple interest compounding annually in arrears. If all this is going way over your head, guys, please come back to me. If you're multitasking, if you're wondering what's the point, come back to me. The main point is to remember that when you think like a banker, you act like one too. When you think like a banker, you act like one too. Interest rates and loan amounts are all fine. They're all great to know. They're important to remember. When you take out a loan, it's good to know these things. But the main thing to remember is that you are in control of the entire process. All this happens in the background. So if you're not interested in all this insurancey stuff or loan interest rate stuff and you just want your cash, just remember that when you request the money, it's going to be dropped into your bank account within about a week or so, and you'll have that money to do with whatever you wish. There are no prohibited transactions or red tape. You can use the policy in any way you want. And the loan repayment is completely under your control as well. You get to decide if you want to set up a repayment plan, how much you'd like to send in. And if you need to make a change on this loan repayment plan later on, you're welcome to do that too. So some people ask me if you're able to deduct the loan interest when you borrow from your policy. This is a big deal for many business owners. They want that tax deduction. Now, for people who own their policies individually, life insurance loans are generally not deductible as personal interest. And this is because the IRS sees it as borrowing from an already tax-advantaged asset like life insurance. But according to the Journal of Accountancy, the business-owned policies out there that might be covering key employees, those policies may allow for a deduction of loan interest, but it's got to be under certain conditions. First of all, typically the loan proceeds have got to be used for a business purpose. Next, the policy coverage has to be at least 5 times the employee's annual salary. Next, the business has to have paid already 4 of the first 7 years of annual premiums without taking a policy loan. And so when this happens, that kind of unlocks the door to you borrowing from the policy and then getting a deduction on policy loan interest. But that loan balance cannot exceed $50,000, according to the IRS. So if all that is true, then you can deduct loan interest that you're being charged for a business policy loan. All right, all that said, just make sure to chat with your accountant. There might be some specific rules for your specific circumstances. But the key here is, I'm not bothered by the loan interest deduction or not. I already have tax-free access to my money. I don't need a deduction on top of that tax-free bucket of money. Now, a lot of people wonder if they're having to pay twice when they borrow from their policy, when they get an asset, like when they use their policy to make a purchase. So for example, if there's a car that you want to buy, let's say you start a policy to help you save for that car. And then let's say you borrow from your policy and now you have a policy loan that you have to repay. Many people tell me that they feel like they're having to pay for that car twice, and they just don't like that. They don't understand why they have to use a policy, a very valuable policy, and then pay loan interest on their own money. Now, we did a whole episode on this back in episode 110, so I highly recommend you check that one out. It couples nicely with episode 32 that I mentioned earlier and how policy loans really work. Now, let's just say that for the first time when you're funding your policy, you're saving for your retirement. And as you borrow from the policy to buy your car, and as you repay that loan that you're making after you bought your car, you're repaying the loan. That repayment of the loan is the act of buying the car, but it's on the other side of the purchase. It's all right. So you're buying that car on the other side of the purchase. If that sounds a little mind-bending, it's not really meant to be. I mean, we often make payments on the other side of a purchase. In fact, anytime we take a loan, we're buying it on the other side of the purchase date. And we're doing it the same here with our policy. But with Bank on Yourself, you're in essence borrowing from your future self, your retirement. Specifically, you're borrowing from the cash value of your policy, which can be, of course, used in retirement. And when you repay your loan, the policy will be made whole. And crucially, it will have the full cash value that you would have had otherwise had you not borrowed from the policy to buy the car in the first place. Crucial. Uninterrupted compound growth is essential for helping you reach your goals. Some people wonder what it's really like physically, tactically, whatever, to take a policy loan. It's so easy. It's hardly worth describing on this podcast, but some people want to visualize this in their mind. So I want to get it out there. most people associate getting a loan with this laborious application process, heavy paperwork, disclosures, documentation, proving your mettle and credit worthiness, something I try to avoid at all costs. I mean, I've got better things to do than kiss the ring of a banker. Now, when it's time to take a policy loan, I really cannot emphasize enough what a difference it is from traditional bank financing. Here's what I do. I go online, log into my insurance company's website, make about 3 or 4 clicks, and the loan is requested and dropped into my bank account within about a week. That's it. Now, more detailed here, I go online, click on whatever policy I'm trying to borrow from, I type in to a text field exactly how much I want from the policy to borrow from, and the website confirms with me if I want to get a check in the mail or have it direct deposited into my bank account that I've already hooked up to my policy. I confirm, and the money drops into my bank account without any questions asked in about 4 or 5 business days. Unbelievable. No more hassle with the bank. No more credit checks. No more playing or negotiating. Oh, wait. They do ask you if you want to set up a loan repayment right away, but that's an optional checkbox. So I really, again, cannot describe to you exactly how much better that is than traditional bank financing. Now, I do recommend folks repay their loans over a reasonable period of time. Now, what's reasonable? Some people ask. Well, for a car, maybe reasonable might be 4 years. A vacation might be 1 year or so. If it's a larger investment, like a real estate deal, you might be looking at longer than 4, maybe 8, 10, or even longer years. Typically, whatever a bank would require that you do, you should really try to match yourself to what the bank is offering as closely as possible. When you bank on yourself, you cannot steal from your own bank and expect this thing to work. You must be a greedy banker with yourself. Force yourself to follow as closely as possible what the bank would require. If you do that, you'll be as wealthy as the banks are. Now, some people wonder if repaying policy loans increases your cash value. Like, hey, let's spend and grow wealthy. I don't like that idea. It's not something I talk about explicitly with folks. This is a bit of a confusion, I think, that's been had over the prevailing years here. The short answer is no. When you repay a policy loan, it does not increase your cash value. It just makes your cash value liquid again. If you're familiar with how a home equity line of credit works, it's kind of like that. Kind of like when you pay down your HELOC faster, it does not increase the value of your home to pay down your HELOC. It just makes more of your equity in your house available to borrow out again, let's say. The home value is going to grow or shrink irrespective of how fast you pay down that HELOC. Similarly, the policy's cash value is going to grow on a guaranteed basis and dividends on top of that. At the same rate, it's going to grow at the same rate whether you're paying that loan back slow or fast. I have a client who is intending and planning on waiting 20 years before he fully pays off his policy loan. 20 years is a long time, but his mom had told him that he'd receive an inheritance if she does not pass away before that. And it's even written into the trust, so he's comfortable with that. His loan balance is being carried then for 2 decades. And because this is a non-direct recognition policy loan, when he pays that loan off in 20 years, the policy will be just as full of cash as if it had never been borrowed from in the first place. Side note, he's using this policy to pay for his tax bill every year. So this is a great strategy. If you want to learn more about that, go back and listen to episode 87. Now, many people are taking policy loans for all kinds of creative ideas. Really cannot emphasize this enough, and we have no time to go through every possible conceivable idea, but I thought I'd share just a few of them with you today as we wrap up today's episode. One young couple just recently dropped a large chunk of cash into a single premium policy. Now, why would they do this? Well, because they received an inheritance and they want to put that money to best use. In fact, for them, they had an immediate plan to do a very large construction project on their home, their dream home. So they were able to borrow out 93% of their cash value within a week of starting their policy. Unbelievable liquidity. And now they're their own mortgage company to themselves, and they don't have to rely on banks. Another client borrowed heavily from one of his policies to invest in his carpet cleaning business franchise. He was buying more trucks and equipment and inventory, and using the policy allowed him to take advantage of his policy and his business in multiple ways. The policy itself would continue to grow as if he never touched the money, and he can invest in his business to get a great rate of return from the business. And having access to capital was a huge relief to him, and so he's waiting until his business profits soar before he makes a repayment on his particular policy loan. Still, one more quick client story. Recently, he borrowed from his policy to wipe out some high-interest credit card debt. He and his wife had been following the debt snowbank method that I detailed out in episode 75, so I definitely recommend checking that one out. We also have several YouTube videos on this topic as well. So again, so many infinite ways to apply this strategy. As we wrap up, here are a few quick takeaways. First, policy loans are not scary, but you must understand them. It's understanding how they work that's crucial. They do differ from bank loans since you remain in control and interest accrues in a better way. Second, bank on yourself designed policy loans offer some key advantages. For example, interest charged at the end of the year in arrears with no upfront loan charges like other companies force you to do, and there's significant flexibility in your loan repayment. Next, policy loans can be a powerful tool for various reasons, financing your purchases, investing in your business or real estate, paying off high interest debt, lots more. Imagine what you could do with your policy. And speaking of, imagine what it would feel like. Imagine yourself in control, deciding on your loan amount, repayment schedule, whether to pay interest at the anniversary or not at all. It all just reminds me that you are the one in control. You are sitting behind the banker's desk, and that means you're in control. Next, let's talk about some action items here. Again, I do recommend you listen to episode 32 and 110. Those two episodes will dive deeper into how policy loans really work. Next, I'd recommend you research companies offering policies with features like year-end interest and no upfront charges. Make sure you're getting the right thing when you set these policies up. Or if you just want to hit the easy button, reach out to me or a Bank on Yourself professional, and we'll do it right the first time. You can reach me at nyafinancialpodcast.com and click on Request a Meeting. And let me know that you'd like to speak with me for 15 minutes and we can get things started and set up the right way. Next, start small. Try a small policy loan. Build some confidence in managing a policy loan before tackling larger expenses or needs. Next, don't steal from your own bank. Do not neglect loan repayments. Be responsible. Manage your policy like a true banker would. And lastly, explore some creative uses for your policy loans. Try investing in your business, wiping out credit cards, paying for your tax bill. The opportunities are endless here. Bonus here, consider sharing some of these case studies I mentioned today with some of your friends, colleagues, family members. Who do you know who needs to hear this episode? Maybe they too could take advantage of this unbelievable life-changing strategy. So I look forward to hearing from you guys. I look forward to helping you with your particular challenges. And thank you for joining me for this week's episode of Not Your Average Financial Podcast, helping you think and live differently with your money, your economy, and your future.
This has been another episode of the Not Your Average Financial Podcast. To join a financial revolution and start thinking different about money, go to www.nyafinancialpodcast.com and click Request a Meeting.
The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.